by Audrey and Rabbi Max Wagner in memory of Julius Bienenfeld, Yehuda Aryeh ben Shlomo Zali Olav HaShalom, and we hope that his neshama will have an aliyah. This morning's shir is sponsored as well by Yardena and Jeffrey Miller. Yardena was here. Hi, you're confusing me. In memory of Jeffrey's father, Joseph K. Miller, Yosef ben Aaron Shmuel Hashem Yikom Damo, and how fitting it is that the shir is not only Le'ilui Nishmasa, but it is in the shul that is named after him as well. What a special schus. And this morning's shir is sponsored as well by Ava and Jeff Kushner and Suzanne and Paul Solner in memory of Ava's mother, Judith Trorig, Yehudis Bas Shmuel Yitzchak Viruchama, Alehem HaShalom, and we hope that all of their neshamas will have an aliyah in Gan Eden. We tell the custodian. Sometimes you go to a shir or you go to a person who is speaking and they make a disclaimer, I'm really talking to myself, and you doubt whether they're actually talking to themselves. Today, I actually worked on this shir only because of myself. So it's really not lip service. I personally am struggling with trying to figure out the balance with something now in my own life. And I just figured it was a good thing to talk about, especially when I was so inspired last week by something that was on the news. So we always try to speak about Inyano de Yoma here. We try to talk about, I think officially we talk about Pirkei Avos, but Pirkei Avos has lots of tentacles, and we're very happy to talk about other things as well. So unfortunately, last week there was a very tragic incident where three hostages were killed. And I've been extremely uncomfortable with the way that this is being portrayed on the news. You can have people sitting in a studio who have never been out on the front lines or who have never been in this kind of situation that we're in with so much confusion and who can pass judgment on those who have mistakenly, painfully done something that they never would have wanted to do. And it's been something very, very tragic and very difficult. And I think very unfair to our chayalim, the way that they're being spoken about. But something that was extremely inspiring, we're not here to point fingers, something that was extremely inspiring was when I saw last week that Iris Chaim, who is the mother of Yotam, who was one of those hostages who was killed, sent a message to the brigade that actually killed her son. And that's what I want to dedicate today's shir to, because I was so overwhelmed by it and the strength of a person to be able to say such a thing. So I'll just read you in English. Somebody translated her words. Hello to the Bislach Brigade, Battalion 17. This is Iris Chaim, I'm Yotam's mother. I wanted to tell you that I love you very much and I embrace you from afar. I know that everything that happened is completely not your fault. It is nobody's fault except for Hamas. May their name and their memory be wiped off the face of the earth. We invite you to come visit us at the earliest opportunity, whoever is willing. We want to see you with our own eyes and embrace you and tell you that what you have done, as painful as it is to say, and as sad as it is, was likely the right thing to do at that moment. None of us are judging you or angry with you. Not me, not my husband Raviv, not my daughter Noya, not Yotam of blessed memory, and not Tuval, who is Yotam's brother. We love you very much, and that is that. I'm amazed. That's a lifetime of work to bring oneself to a place where you can say that. You don't become that person when your son is killed tragically. That's a person whose entire life is working toward being a generous, giving, forgiving, understanding person. And what I'm struggling with is sometimes people put us in positions or do things to us, and we have decisions that we need to make. And the decision that we need to make is how we're going to respond, how we're going to react. And what should we do moving forward? Should we just lay down and let people do whatever they want and steamroll us? Or should we stand up for ourselves and be a little bit of a kapdam, be a little bit of a person who's willing to stand for their own dignity? And of course, there's a healthy balance. But look what this woman was willing to say. She had every right to be angry, and she had every right to be upset. and she didn't. And for me, it's a tremendous takeaway. It's an unbelievable lesson. And that's a little bit of what I wanted to talk about today, which is the idea, the concept of being Maver Al Midosav. Maver Al Midosav means a person who is willing to let things slide, a person who is willing to just let it be. We're going to put the past behind us and we're going to move forward. And I'm not going to stand on principle and I'm not going to stand on ceremony. And when I say I'm talking to myself, I really mean it. This year I made for myself. I sat down, I did it last night. I came home very late, but I felt that this for me was an exercise because I think I struggle with it. I don't know if anybody else does. Maybe you're all just major Rachmanim and unbelievably soft people and you don't have this issue ever in your lives. But I think after I saw what this woman had said, it's something that really inspired me to think a lot about this topic. So we begin with the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin encourages all of us to understand our uniqueness and our importance. And the Gemara says, "Lefikach nivra adam yechidi." You ever wonder, why didn't God create the world with millions of people? Why did he start with just Adam HaRishon? Would it not have been easier if everybody was just here? What was the reason that we have the structure in this way? Says the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin, "Lefikach nivra adam yechidi." Why was man created alone? Why was man created as a singular individual? Because God wanted all of us to understand that we, as singular individuals, as individual people, have a tremendous amount of value. Look at Adam HaRishon. Without him, there would be no world. Without Chava, there would be no one. So it was one person, and then it was two people, and from those two individuals came an entire world and an entire civilization. Says the Gemara, the Ribono Shel Olam, God structured it that way because he wanted us to understand the value of an individual. The fikach kalechad ve'echad chayiv lomar, every human being has to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. I could have been that person. I could have been Adam HaRishon. And I am just as special as Adam HaRishon. Now, sometimes we take that in the wrong direction and we take it to mean, I am so special and I am so important and therefore how dare anybody challenge the nature of my position or the nature of who I am. But that's not what the Gemara means to teach us. Rashi there explains, what does it mean when the Gemara encourages all of us to think, I am yechidi, I am unique, I am special, bishvili nivra olam, says Rashi, kelomar, chashav ani ka'olam malei, I consider myself like an entire world, just like Adam HaRishon was the whole world. Lo etred es atzmi min ha'olam ba'avera achas v'yimshach mimenu. Because I'm so important and because I represent an entire world, am I going to do something that is such a poor decision? I'm going to do an avera that's going to pull me out of this world? I'm going to do a transgression that's going to make God angry at the one and only person in the entire world? Think, imagine if you were Adam HaRishon and you're the only human being in the world. Would you do an avera? I mean, Adam HaRishon did. But you would think twice if you thought the entire world was resting on your shoulders. Because we don't think of ourselves highly enough, so we say, God won't pay so much attention to whatever it is that I'm doing. He has lots of other things to worry about. We have a war going on. We have hostages he needs to take care of. We have Ukraine and Russia still going on. We have North Korea, South Korea, and Iran. We have a lot of big issues. He's not interested in the little Lashon Hara that I'm about to say on the phone call that I'm talking to someone. He doesn't really care that I'm not paying my income taxes the way I should. He doesn't really worry about these things. He doesn't bother himself that I'm going to a restaurant that I shouldn't eat at or going on a vacation that I shouldn't be at. All these kinds of things because he has bigger things to worry about. Really, this is not the issue. If you believed Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, if you believe the entire world rests on my shoulders and I am a vitally important part of everything that the world represents, then you would never bring yourself, you would never lower yourself to do such a thing because you know the consequences of every action that you do. Says Rashi, that's what Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam really means. And the problem is that very often we take this statement of Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam in the opposite direction. And we stand on ceremony and we stand on principle and we're very careful about our dignity because we say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. And we're not so careful about transgressions. And we're not so scrupulous about the things that God has expectations of us to do because we don't realize that that's what Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam really means. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, probably one of the greatest Jewish philosophers in all of our history. The Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Hinei, kol inyan ha'gaiva huzeh sha'adam machshiv atzmo ba'atzmo. Where does arrogance come from? Arrogance comes from a person who believes, I am extremely important. Machshiv atzmo ba'atzmo. You're stuck in your own head. Ubelevavo yidame ki lo nava tehila. And in your own heart, you believe that I am worthy and I am deserving, and therefore, how could a person compromise what I am deserving to have? I can say I've met many Gedolei Yisrael in my life, and I have met a lot of very famous and wonderful people because of the nature of the home I grew up in. I have never met anybody who has the humility of my father. I've met a lot of people who are Talmid HaChachamim like my father. I shouldn't say a lot, but I've met some. But I've never met anyone who has the humility of my father, and it's something that I'm 38, I think, and I've been around with my father for a long time, and every time I experience it, it's something that continues to amaze me. Just on Sunday, I put together a rabbinical conference every year where we have 70 or 80 rabbanim come from all over the country, and we all spend the day together here. And we had it on Sunday, and a couple of months ago we had it. Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky was the guest for the day. This time, Rav Asher Weiss spoke for the entire day to the group. And my father called me on Matzah Shabbos, and he said, Shai, can you talk to the committee? Would they mind if a non-practicing rabbi came as well? So I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, Daddy, you can invite whoever you want. I don't care. He said, no, I was interested in coming. I'm not giving shir tomorrow. So I'm like laughing. I said, yeah, I'll discuss it with the committee, who is myself and me. So I said, I think it would be all right. So I told Rav Asher Weiss on Matzah Shabbos, I just want you to know, you may not have prepared for any of us, because you don't have to prepare to speak to us, but I just want you to know my father's planning to come. He was so uncomfortable, he said, I'm not going to tell him not to, but I'm not going to teach him anything, so I don't know what to do. So he said, you know, why don't we do a session or two together? Like, maybe that will be meaningful. So my father gave a shiur in the morning, and then he showed up at 11:30, which was, you know, after the first two sessions, and he sat in the back. He just sat next to me in the back row. I like to sit in the back just to observe what's going on. And he sat next to me. And Rav Asher Weiss said to me after, he's like, I try so hard to like at least make him believe that he's something special. He's like, I don't know how much more clearly I can say it to him. Like, what should I say? So then it came time for a question and answer session. And he tells my father, you know, he announces to the whole room, we're going to have a question and answer session. Rav Schechter is going to join me up here. We're both going to answer the questions. Fine. So my father reluctantly comes to the front. And I was presenting the questions that people have emailed in advance. And my father starts off and he says, you know, a number of years ago I was in Hungary on a trip in the summer. And it turned out we were visiting the town of Munkács. And the Munkács Rebbe happened to be there because he was there visiting Kivrei Avos, whatever it was. Munkács Rebbe and my father are very close friends. Story for another time. So the Munkács Rebbe saw that there was a big group of people. All the people wanted a bracha from the Munkács Rebbe, but he saw that my father was there, so he didn't know what to do. So the Munkács Rebbe took my father and he said, I can't give brachas out if you're not going to sit next to me. So you need to sit next to me and then we'll have the line of people coming. So my father said, how about this? I'll sit next to you and you'll give the brachas. I don't do this. So he said, no, but it doesn't work that way. So they made up. The pshara was, I'm going to hold Rav Schechter's hand, and with his power of everything that he is, I'll give the brachos in his name. That was the thing they came to. So my father gets up and he says, you know, the story happened with the Munkács Rebbe a couple of years ago, so we'll do the same thing today. I'm going to sit here, and I'll hold your hand, and you'll give the answers. And this question and answer session went on for almost an hour, and my father, I think, almost didn't say one word. And Rav Asher Weiss kept turning to him, and he said, so what do you say? My father was like, I'm here to listen. I don't know. What do you think? It was amazing. Later on, he had a lot to say to me about some of the answers. But humility is something that is so rare. So rare. And especially for people who have accomplished a lot and who have a lot to say for themselves and what they have done in this world. It's something that I'm so inspired by. It's something that continues to inspire me and anybody who is exposed to it. And says the Mesilas Yesharim, so often the root of our issues, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, are the sense of gaiva, the sense of self, that we all feel we are so worthy and so deserving and so important. And it's amazing. Just an addendum to that story, actually, like, amazing. So I get a call Sunday night from a woman who called me, and she says, "Hi, is this Rabbi Schechter?" So whenever people call and say that, I said, "No." I assume they're calling for my father. So she said, no, I'm in your parents' house." I said, "Who is this?" So she didn't tell me her name. She said, I came to your parents' house. I had a very urgent question. Something came up, very important. And I came to your parents' house, and your father won't answer my question. He tells me to call his son, and he says that there's a big rabbi staying by his son's house, and he's leaving to the airport tonight. I should go to Five Towns to speak to him." So I'm like, "Can I talk to my father? I don't know what you're talking about." So she puts my father on the phone, and I said, "Daddy, what is this? Like, what are you talking about?" So he says, "Yeah, this woman came to the house with a very serious shaila. You know, I spent the day with her Usher Weiss. Maybe she should ask him, you know." So I was like, "But she came to your house. She doesn't know who he is." I said, "Yeah, but he's still in America, and, you know, he can answer the shaila. Let her go discuss it with him." It's such a humility. It's such a selflessness. It's amazingly inspiring. And for a person to be maver al midosav is such a tremendous midah. Once we're telling stories, I'll continue. But I hope I never forget. I said this a couple of years ago. I was there learning with my father when the story happened. So none of it is made up. I watched it. I didn't hear it from anyone else. There was somebody who called my father one day. He was the chairman of the board of a yeshiva in Brooklyn. And the yeshiva was one that my father never heard of. He calls my father out of nowhere one day and he says, "You know, somebody told us that you're very close with this individual. Maybe you can make a phone call to him that he should contribute money toward our yeshiva." So my father, anyone who asks him to do anything, he says yes. He just says, "Give me the phone number, I'll call, I don't care." So my father then calls this man back and he says, "You know, I've never heard of the yeshiva. It's a little strange to call somebody and say, you know, can you give money to a yeshiva that I don't know anything about?" So my father said, "I have an idea. I give a shiur every Monday night in Brooklyn. Maybe I'll ask the person who's picking me up to come a half hour earlier. I'll ask him to drive me to the yeshiva. I'll pop in during night seder. I'll talk to some of the boys there. And then I'll make the phone call the next day. At least I could say I was there. I saw what it is. I spoke to some of the boys. It's very nice. It's not nice, whatever." So this chairman of the board was shocked. He's like, "You're going to go out of your way just because I made a phone call? You don't know who we are. You don't know anything, but you're willing to go?" My father said, "Yeah, it's fine. If I can help you, it's no problem." The next day, I'm learning with my father. The Rosh Hashiva of that yeshiva calls. And he says, "You know, I heard your generous offer. You're going to come early to stop into the yeshiva." He said, "To be honest, you know, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy that my talmidim should be exposed to you. You're YU. I don't know. This is not our hashkafa. This is not what we believe. So I appreciate it very much, but I would prefer if you didn't show up." I was like livid. And my father responds without missing one beat. He says, "Okay, so I'll call him today without visiting the yeshiva. That's fine." That's called maver al midosav. That's called a person who doesn't take themselves into the equation. And I said to him afterward, "Why would you make a phone call for someone like that? Did you hear what he just said to you?" And he said to me, "What do I care? He has talmidim. He needs to teach them. He needs to feed them. They need a place to sleep. So he shouldn't be helped." I said, "Not when he has midos like that. He shouldn't have talmidim." So I remember I called my mother and I said, "Tonight, when daddy gets home, do not let him make this phone call." And then I was feeling guilty. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. So I called Rav Usher Weiss and I said, "Listen, this is what's going on. I just watched this whole thing. This is crazy. Like, am I wrong?" He said, "Listen, your mother is right and your father is righteous." That was his conclusion. He said, "Your mother is right and your father is righteous, but we're going to go with right on this one, not righteous." Whatever. It's a tremendous gvura of a person to be willing to overlook themselves and take themselves out of the equation. So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, this is number Dalet here on the source sheet, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. It's amazing. This list is an amazing list. There are three people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves and appreciates. If I or any of us were making this list, I would venture to say we would not have come up with these three individuals. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love? I don't know. I could have come up with a long list of people who he loves. But if I had to boil it down to three, who would those three be? So says the Gemara, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. There are three people who the Ribono Shel Olam loves. Number one, Mi She'eno Koes, someone who doesn't get upset. Someone who remains tempered. Somebody who reacts appropriately. That's number one. Number two, shockingly, Mi She'eno Mishtaker, someone who doesn't get drunk. Amazing. You get drunk, you lose yourself. You're not thinking clearly. You're not behaving properly. You're not reacting the way you're supposed to. Number two. Number three says the Gemara, Mi She'eno Mamid Al Midosav. Someone who is willing to let things go. Those are the three people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. I don't know about you. I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to like me. It would be nice if he also loved me. But at least at the bare minimum for him to like me, it would be a good thing. I think all of us are in agreement. So, I don't get drunk because I can't tolerate wine. The most I can do is Moscato d'Asti. And that already makes me drunk. So, this is not relevant to me. Misha eno koes? Yeah, I get upset sometimes. We all get upset sometimes. And says the Gemara, Misha eno mamen al midosav, just let things go. Just let it go. And why, says the Rambam? Why should we let things go? What do you mean? But this person did something bad to me. And sometimes it's very legitimate that I feel that way. They were very disrespectful. They humiliated me. They embarrassed me in public. They hurt my family or my parnasa or whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever it could be. Why should I let it slide? Says the Rambam. Explains the Rambam, because you need to have perspective. Take a perspective before you react or before you hold on to something. The Rambam writes here in number Hey, Hilchos Deos Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin Hanokem Es Chavera Over Belosa Say. There's an Avera of Nekama. I'm not allowed to get back at you because you did something to me. Shenemar Lo Sikom Ve'Afal Pishen Oloke Das Ra Hi Admaod. This is a terrible thing to do. Ela Roy Lo La Adam Lios Maver Al Midosa Al Kol Divrei HaOlam. Whatever happens in my life, just let it slide. Why should I let it slide? But somebody really did something bad to me. Somebody is trying to destroy me. Why should I let it go? Says the Rambam. Shehakol Eitzel Hamevinim Divrei Hevel V'Havoi Ve'enan Kedai Linkom Alehem. Put it in perspective. This world is Hevel Havolim. Look at the larger scheme of life. Look at the grand scheme of and picture of the world and ask yourself, is this really relevant? Somebody came to talk to me recently about a little something in their family. I said, like, there are people dying every day. There are mothers burying their children. There are children who are left without parents. What, like, really? This is where your focus is? This is what you're busy with? Now, again, to live all of life like that would be inappropriate to just say, oh, nothing matters because there are people starving in Africa. But for real, you know, sometimes take a perspective, says the Rambam. How long are you going to hold on to something? How long are you going to let something bother you? In the grand scheme of life, is this really worth holding on to? It's destroying you. It's eating you up alive. Realize, get perspective. Hakol hevel havalim. This is nothing in the scheme or picture of the world. So zoom out the lens and look beyond the issue that's in front of you. And of course it's painful and of course it's hurtful. And somebody legitimately did something to you that's wrong and bad. And maybe it was with intention. Maybe it wasn't, maybe it was. But the bottom line is, it's hevel havalim, says the Rambam. The bottom line is, what is it already? There's a bigger world out there than this incident. And that really is the perspective. I remember as a child, again, a story that I hope I'll never forget. I remember as a child, happens much less now from what I can recall, but my father used to be attacked mercilessly in the newspapers all the time when I was a kid. It was when a lot of discussion was going back and forth with open orthodoxy and whatever, a lot of the feminist movement. There were a lot of things going on. My father was attacked all the time, all the time. And for anyone who's ever met him, he's the sweetest, nicest person in the world. The way he was portrayed in the newspaper was like you would think he's the, you know, big grizzly bear, a monster. But I remember on one occasion, there was a Talmud of his who learned in yeshiva, who is a Rav, who put out a full page, front page attack against my father about one of these issues. Okay. The next day, after this was published, an email came to my parents, which my mother showed me. An email came to my parents of this individual apologizing for writing the open letter to the newspaper attacking my father. So, we came to dinner that night. My mother showed it to my father, and my father was like, okay, you know, great. I just threw it out. So I took it, and I was drafting an email to respond. My response was going to be, you took out a full-page ad in the newspaper to attack someone. If you feel bad about it, then you should take the same full-page ad out in the newspaper and apologize if that's really how you feel, right? That would make sense. So I started drafting an email, and my father sees that I have this piece of paper sitting next to my computer. So he says, what are you working on? I said, I'm responding. He said, what are you responding? What do you care? Like, so what? So you took out an ad in the newspaper. He attacked me. Like, who cares? Move on. And my father's response always was, I'm going to get them back. I'm not going to read it. I'll show them. I'm not going to read the article in the newspaper. So I was responding, and my father was very insistent. There's no reason to respond. Just let it be. There's no reason to respond. My father at that time said to me something which I shudder from. He said, attacking me is not attacking me personally. It's attacking every Talmud that represents me, every Rav in this country who stands in a position and stands for what I believe in. It's attacking the Ribono Shel Olam and his Torah, which is all I've done my whole life. The Ribono Shel Olam will take care of such people. You don't need to get involved. Don't say a word. The Ribono Shel Olam will take care of them. It's fine. Don't worry about it. For anyone who wants the end of the story, I would never say it on a recording, but the end of the story is amazing for another time. But that's Mavar al Midosav, says the Rambam. You're worried? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? It's Hevel HaVolim. It's nothing, says the Rambam. You're going to let that eat you up for the rest of your life? I don't often quote things that I learn from non-Jews, because I don't learn so many things from non-Jews that I interact with. I don't interact that often. But when we bought our house, it was from an Italian Catholic who was the nicest person, really. The nicest, nicest guy. And I have no idea why he said this to me, but when we came in to talk about buying the house, he just had a whole conversation about everything but the house. And he said to me, Rabbi, you know, this is the way you need to live life. The way I live life is I look at life as a very narrow aisle in a supermarket. And I'm always concerned. If I'm going to be stuck in a supermarket down a narrow aisle and someone's going to be coming this way and I'm going to be coming the other way, I don't want to ever have to turn around because I can't face a person. And that's the way I live life. I took that as such a musser. Don't ever be in a position where you're in the supermarket and you have to go to another aisle because what am I going to say to that person? How am I going to face them? Don't let yourself be there. It's eating yourself up alive. Why would you want to be in a position with someone like that? Work it out. Figure it out. Let it go. Let it slide. That's the musser I took from this individual who I bought my house from, and I think about it all the time. So the Maharal asks, why is it that the Gemara tells us such an extreme reaction, such an extreme response? The Gemara says, "Kol amavir al midosav mavirin lo al kol pshav." Every year, I mentioned this before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people run around the world for all kinds of skulos. They go to this kever, they go to that tzaddik, they want a bracha, they want a skula, they want everything, and they do all kinds of things. We never look in the Gemara. What is the skula that the Gemara says to be successful when you're trying to get a kapara, when you're trying to get tshuva? Says the Gemara, "Kol amavir al midosav mavirin lo al kol pshav." If you believe in Chazal, which I hope everybody here does, if you believe in Chazal, then we should take what they say seriously. And what does it say? If somebody is willing to be mavir al midosav, if you're willing to just let things go, mavirin lo al kol pshav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just let your sins go as well. Says the Maharal, why? What does one have to do with the other? Why should you have such a wonderful reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because you're being mavir al midosav? And the Maharal explains, the reason why is because this is mida keneged mida. If you're willing to let things go and say that it doesn't bother me as much as it should, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to say, I let things go also, and it doesn't bother me as much as it should. And I know that you didn't act appropriately, and I know you didn't do what you're supposed to. But I see the way you're so understanding of other people. I see you let things slide, I'm also going to let things slide. Says the Maharal, it's an exact mida keneged mida. It's a parallel. And the greater the hurt and the greater the pain and the more we're willing to just let that go, the more the Ribono Shel Olam says, the bigger transgressions that you have violated, I'm willing to let them go as well because it's commensurate to who you are and to the way you live life. That's the way I'm going to treat you. Which really reminds me of the comment of the Kedushas Levi, the Bardichever, who said, when we say in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being our shade, it really means the Ribono Shel Olam provides us with shade and the Ribono Shel Olam protects us. That's what it means, Hashem Tzilcha. But says the Kedushas Levi, and others say the same idea, maybe it means something additional. Hashem Tzilcha means the Ribono Shel Olam is your shadow. So when I'm out at night and I put my hand out in the street and I start moving it around, the shadow does the same thing as I am doing with my own hand. The same motions will then be portrayed in the shadow. And that's what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as well. Hashem Tzilcha means the Ribono Shel Olam will mirror your kind of behavior. You're willing to be Mavir, I'll call Midosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to be Mavir, I'll call Peshav. Because he is our shadow, because Hashem Tzilcha. There's a story about Rabbi Zelmela Mivalozhin. He lived in Valozhin. And he once said that he was very troubled. The Gemara tells us that there are two conflicting reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara says, number one, the reason is because Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, the three most cardinal sins that one can ever violate, were all being violated and transgressed in that generation, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. But then the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos a different idea. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? It makes no mention of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. Rather, the Gemara says the reason Yerushalayim was destroyed is because Ha'amidu Divrayim Al Din Torah. Because people were so, how do you say it? Ha'amidu Divrayim Al Din Torah, they were so rigid. It's like, if this is what it says, then this is what we do. And there's no wiggle room for anything, not only in our observance of Torah and mitzvahs, but in our relationships. Ha'amidu Divrayim Al Divrei Torah, this is what I deserve, and this is what it's going to be. And the Gemara says, because of that mindset, because of that feeling, the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. So ask Rav Zelmel of Alojan, which one is it? Was it destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, or because Hamidu Divrayim Al Din Torah? Says Rav Zelmel of Alojan, I'll tell you the answer. You deserve to have a Beis HaMikdash destroyed when you're serving Avodah Zarah. You deserve to have a Beis HaMikdash destroyed when you're involved in Gilui Arayos and Shfichas Damim, murder. Of course you deserve to have a Beis HaMikdash destroyed, but the Ribono Shel Olam would have been willing to let it go. If we would have not been the people who were so stuck on our principles, Hamidu Devrayim Al Din Torah, if we were willing to be flexible with other people, then the Ribono Shel Olam would have been flexible even on Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. And what caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash ultimately was that rooted evil that we all felt, that we could not, I think the Yiddish word is vergin, right? We just couldn't let things go. And the Ribono Shel Olam said, if you can't let that go, then I can't let your behavior go either. That's where it all came from. And that's why it happened. There's a letter, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the father of the Musar movement. Somebody wrote him a letter about the details of Tshuvas HaMishkal. What does Tshuvas HaMishkal mean? Tshuvas HaMishkal means there is a old tradition. I think it's from the days of the Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken. That for every Aveira, there's a particular kind of tshuva that you need to go through. You need to fast X amount of days, you need to this, that, you need to suffer, whatever it is. So, when we do tshuva today, we don't generally think about that. We come to shul, we sit in shul the whole day, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say Al Chet, we say Slichos, whatever we do. We ask Mechila. Nobody I know does Tshuvas HaMishkal. Nobody says, I'm going to go look in my records and see how many times have I eaten something that I shouldn't have eaten. Oh, that's 26 days of fasting. Nobody does that. Why do we not do it? I don't know. But we don't do it today. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was asked by an individual, how do I do Tshuvas HaMishkal for this particular problem that I have? I feel remorse for it. I feel terrible for what I've done. And I want to know, what's the formula? Listen to the response. He writes back to this individual, "Be'inyan Tshuvas HaMishkal ein li yediya." Sorry, I didn't put it on here. He says, I don't know. I don't know exactly how Tshuvas HaMishkal works. I don't know exactly how to determine for you what you should or shouldn't do. It's hard for me to know. Mazik lebrias bedar hachalash hazeh. He said, we're a weak generation. For you to fast 25 days for something that you've done, you're not going to be able to be a functioning human being. You're not going to be able to daven. You're not going to be able to learn. You won't be able to do anything. So I think, he says, Tshuvas HaMishkal should be off the table for you. Yuchal chalila lavali de bitul Torah asher hu eker. It's going to cause you not to be serving God the way you should because you're going to be too focused on your hunger. What do I suggest instead? He doesn't write exactly what the transgression was that he's describing. But you want to do tshuva? What do I suggest? He says, Hatov, sheyafsik b'midas savlanos liyas maver al midos av harbe. I have one suggestion. Try to work on yourself that you should be maver al midos av, that you should just let things go. If you let things go, that's better than every tshuvas hamishkol that you're going to do. You fast 30 days, 40 days. No, it's not good for you. What you should be doing is train yourself to be maver al midosav. There's a story that's told about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mir Yeshiva. And in Milchemet Sheshet Hayamim, in the Six-Day War, is actually on the dorm building of the Mir Yeshiva, the main building, there was a til, there was a rocket, a bomb, whatever it was, that hit the top floor of the building at the time. So people were running into shelter. The Mir Yeshiva is literally on the border of East Jerusalem. It's right there. There is no partition at all. And they were hit with a direct hit on the building while everybody was in the miklat, while everybody was hiding downstairs. Of course, they were a bunch of yeshiva boys who were there together with the Rosh Yeshiva. And they started to daven and they said, Ribono Shel Olam, save us. We're in the miklat in the building. There are bombs flying all over the place. We're terrified. When they all came out of the shelter, they saw that a missile, a rocket, whatever it was, had hit the top floor of the building and all of them were saved. That's miraculous. Why the building didn't collapse on all of them, nobody knows. On that occasion, of course, the natural reaction of everybody who was there was, we were saved because we're a bunch of God-fearing Jews. We're a bunch of individuals who daven, who put on tefillin every day, who keep Shabbos properly, who do everything. And there we were in the shelter, davening again. And that's why we were saved, of course, naturally. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on that occasion turned to all the Talmidim and he said, I want you to understand. I'm going to read it. V'chisburim atem shezeh ma shehitzil osanu. Do you really think your tefillah is so great and that's why you were saved? You really think your Shabbos is so high and that's why the Ribono Shel Olam said, oh, Shmulevitz is Shabbos, now we have to save him. No, you all got it wrong. It has nothing to do with what you learned. It has nothing to do with how much you davened. And it has nothing to do with how much we believe that we are God-fearing Jews. I'll tell you, he said, do you know that not far from me in the miklat, in the shelter there, there was a woman who was sitting. Higara b'shfunas ha'yeshiva. She lives in the, what's it called? Shfuna. The neighborhood, thank you, of the yeshiva. When the sirens went off, she had to run for shelter. She didn't have one in her house, so she ran to the shelter of the yeshiva. She knew there would be a big space there, so she just came to be with us. Ha'isha ha'isa aguna. I want you to know that that woman is an aguna. Mize esrim shana, 20 years. Zan chabayla. For 20 years, her husband is ruining her life. For 20 years, her husband is putting her through the worst of the worst. And I want you to know, she saved us. She's the reason why we were saved. And all of them looked around and wondered, what do you mean she saved us? How could it be she saved us? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, Shamati osa tzoekes. I was near her. And I heard her cry out the following when we were down there and we were terrified. I heard her say the following. Ribono Shel Olam, ani mocheles lekulam. Ta'aminu li, hayala ama limcho. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, this woman stood up and said, I forgive him. And trust me, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, I know how much pain she went through because of this man. I know how much he destroyed and continues to destroy her life. Ani mocheles lekulam. And she has no problem standing up and saying, let it go. Chaim Shmulevitz said, Kishashamati azeh, when I heard her say that, Yadati shenitzanu. I knew that we would all be saved. What she said is what saved us. Ribono shel olam, re'e lama ani mesugelas. She said to the Ribono shel olam, look what I am prepared to do. Asei gam ata mashehu. Look what I'm prepared to do. Now you show me what you're prepared to do for me. Said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that heartfelt discussion that woman had with the Ribono shel olam is the only reason why we were all saved. Ma'avir al midosav to the max. A woman has no obligation to forgive her husband for doing such a thing, for holding her hostage for 20 years, for not allowing her to go move on with her life and destroying everything that her life represented. That woman saved all of us because she was willing to be maver al midoseha. The Medrash tells us about Rachel Imenu. It's such an amazing story in the Medrash. Someone told me I say amazing a lot, but I find a lot of things to be very amazing. What can I say? So the Medrash says, I need to come with a thesaurus, come up with a new word if someone has one. So the Medrash writes a story about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Let's learn it together. The story really is amazing. V'shash HaBikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachrav es Beis HaMikdash, says the Medrash. When the Ribono shel Olam wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Hay HaKadosh Baruch Hu bocha ve'omer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying. And he said, Oy li ma asisi. Look what I did. Hashrisi shchinasi lamata b'shvil Yisrael. I decided I'm going to lower myself, come down from the upper worlds and spend time in this world because of the Jewish people. Ve'achshav shechatu. But now that the Jewish people have sinned, chazarti l'mekom liharishon. All right, basically I've been kicked out of the world. They don't want me here anymore. The nations of the world are going to laugh at me. Laugh at the Jews. Why did I do this? And this negotiation is happening. Not negotiation, this discussion. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYirmiyah. The Ribono shel Olam turns to Yirmiyah HaNavi, who was alive at the time, and he says, Ani Dome Hayom LaAdam Shehaya Lo Ben Yechidi. I am similar to a person who had an only child. Va'asa Lo Chupa Umeis B'to Chupaso. Imagine he has one child, and he does everything for this child, and he raises him, and finally in the end, the child is ready to get married, and he's standing under the chuppah, and the kid has a heart attack under the chuppah as they're about to get married. You think you can ever console such a parent? So the Ribono shel Olam says, that's what I feel like. I had one very special child in the world, and I did everything in the world for that child, and I tried to make life so meaningful for that child, and look what they did. It's like a heart attack under the chuppah. Terrible. Ein lecha ka'ev li lo alai v'lo abanai. Yirmiyah HaNavi is asked, do you not feel sad for me? Do you not have any emotion for what's going on? Lech ukro la'avram li'yitzchok li'yakov u'moshe mikireyem shehem yodim livkos. You, Yirmiyah, seem not to have any emotion about what's going on here. Maybe call Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe they should cry for what's happening. So the Medrash then goes on to explain how Avram Avinu was pulled out of his grave. What it means, I don't know. And Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, and God is sitting there having a conversation with each one of them. Should I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Should I not? Anyway, fascinating story. After all of that is done, Ba'osa Shah, Kafza Rachel Imenu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amra. Rachel Imenu jumps out of nowhere. Kafza means she jumps up in front of the Ribono shel Olam and she says, Ribono shel Olam, Galui lefanecha, you know, she Yaakov avadecha ahavani ava yisera. You know that Yaakov Avinu loved me. You know that's why he came to my father's house, because he loved me. Va'ava b'shvidi la'ava sheva shanim. And he was willing to put himself through 7 years of work to deserve me. Not that I made him do that, my father made him do it. Kishishlima osam sheva shanim, when those 7 years were over, v'higiyazman nisui labali, and it came time for me to marry my husband. My father, as we all know, switched around the whole story. And we don't have to go through it. We're all familiar with what happened. And that night, can you imagine? You ever spoke to a girl who has a broken engagement the night before the wedding? I've spoken to such people. Can you imagine what that feels like? Now, that's a broken engagement that sometimes comes as a shock. Here, she watched her father doing all of this. And as not to embarrass her sister, she went along with it. And not only went along with it, Leah didn't even realize what was being done for her. Rachel didn't say, "Abba is tricking Yaakov and I'm going to give you the secrets." Nothing. Leah wasn't even aware of how much Rachel Imena was saving her the shame. "Can you imagine how much I cried that night?" says Rachel Imenu. Not just that night, but every night after that also. Not only that I lost the love of my life, but that I see my sister is with him. Can you imagine the pain that I felt? Can you imagine how hurt I was by my own sister? How could she agree to do such a thing? I know my father's a scoundrel. I know that my father is a lowlife. But how could Leah Imenu do this? But I let it go. I let it go, says Rachel Imenu. Gamalti chesed ima. Skip down further. Three lines from the end. Ve'ata melech chai v'kayim rachama. Mipnei ma kinas la'avodah zarah she'en ba mamash v'iglisa bana. You're willing to take the Jews out of Israel, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, to kick them out of the land, to destroy everything about their lives. Sorry, other side of the page. You're willing to destroy them because they're serving Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the biggest joke. It's nothing. Think about it for a minute. You have a tree. People are bowing down to a tree. You have a little figurine made out of ceramic and people are a bit like, it's nothing. It's so silly. And for something so silly, you're willing to destroy them? Explain it to me. Look what I was willing to do. I wasn't willing to destroy my sister for something important. For something that mattered for the rest of my life. For something that gnawed at me for the rest of my life. And I let it go. You're going to be such a stickler on such silliness? On Avodah Zarah? It's not my words. This is Rachel Imenu. She'en ba'mamish v'iglisa banai v'nergu b'cherev. You're going to let them be murdered. V'asu oivim bam kiritzonam. You're going to let the nations of the world do anything to them. Says the Medrash, Miyad nisgalgulu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam appreciated this argument. Nisgalgulu rachamav means, sometimes, as a parent, you know the right thing to do, but your children win you over because you can't watch them cry, or you can't let them be in pain, even though you know it's not right. Sometimes in the Zgagulu Rachamav, you're overcome by a sense of understanding, of compassion. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, you're wrong. And Avraham Avinu was wrong. And Yitzchak is wrong. And Yaakov and Moshe. And I rejected all of them. And the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed. But Rachel Imenu made me evoke an emotion of compassion. And he says, "B'shvileich Rachel, ani machzir es Yisrael l'mkoma." Only because of you, Rachel Imenu, because of your strength and your courage, I'm willing someday to let the Jewish people come back home. Because she was able to be strong with this part of her life, to be mavir al midoseha, to let things go. Let me close with one final story. The Aviezri is a sefer that was written by Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the leader of Torah Jewry in Israel, a towering Rosh Hashiva. And there's a sefer that's written with tidbits of the life of Rav Shach. So they have the following story. I put it in here because I want everyone to read it, because it's such a beautiful story. Echad ba lefnei rabbeinu. They record that somebody came before Rav Shach. And he says, "I'm having difficulty with my wife. We're having shalom bayis problems, whatever it is. I don't think she's talking to me respectfully." Whatever he said, "Selva meishto," he's not happy. Rabbeinu lo nichnas lo se ito le prate ha'inim. He said Rav Shach didn't even bother to get into the details of what did she say, what did you say, what did he say. He didn't get into it. What did he say? Amar lo, all he told him is one thing. Devar echad ani rotzeh lahagid lecha. I want to tell you one thing. Svara she'ulai toa lecha. I'm just going to give you one piece of my mind that maybe will help you. Atat tzarif ladas, you need to know she'ata lomei Torah v'hi lo lomedes Torah. You sit in the kolol all day and learn Torah. Your wife is at home all day. She doesn't do the same thing you do. Lachain mimcha yesh drisha yoser gedola. There's a higher expectation of you. Grow up. And if you don't like the way your wife is talking to you, too bad. You should be more mature than that. If you are learning Torah all day, it should make you the kind of person that shouldn't care. And if you don't like it, there's something wrong with your learning. I love that story. Okay, that's just as an aside. Then, the next story they have in this book is Pam Bizman Milchama. There was once a war. Shalu es Rabbeinu Eza Kabbalas Lekabal. They went to Rav Shach and they asked him, the Talmidim and Yeshiva asked him, what should we take upon ourselves? We want to be better. Everyone's saying we should grow, we should do something, we should take something on. So what should that be? I don't know. There's a million things to do. So where do I start? What should I do? The Amar, and he says, Lo Kabbalas Gedolos Kiloze Mekaimu. He said, don't take big things upon yourself because you know it's not realistic to assume that you're going to be able to hold by your Kabbalah. Rak Shnei Dvarim Ketanim, he says, I would tell you two things you should take upon yourselves. Number one, and I think it's relevant because I would go to Rav Shach today and ask him the same thing. We're in a milchama. People want to know what to do. What should it be? So the generic answer is everybody should work on whatever they should work on. Okay, that's very nice, but how many people actually do that? So let's give some practical etza. What should we work on? What should we do? So Rav Shach is talking to us. What should we do? We're in a milchama. Says Rav Shach two things. Small things. Number one, b'ben adam la'makom. He said, I have one area of ben adam la'makom that you should improve and one area of ben adam la'chaver. Ben adam la'makom, he says, levarech bracha rishona shel berachas hamazon mitoch ha'sidur. Take upon yourself that you're going to say the first bracha of berachas hamazon from a sidur. Take out a bencher. You're going to say the words and look at them inside. Now, Madua rak bracha achas. What do you mean the first bracha? What about the rest? Why would you give someone that kind of suggestion? Ki im yomer meirosh, because if I tell myself levarach es kol berachas hamazon mitoch hasidur, if I tell myself to bench the entire berachas hamazon from a bencher, zek kvar midei harbe v'lo yaslo klal, I'm going to say, oh, nah, that's just going to take too long. No one's even going to start that. So tell yourself, I'm going to say the first paragraph of Berachas Hamazon. I'm going to look inside and follow along every word. Of course, once you're there, you're going to end up finishing also. But he said, take upon yourself a small Kabbalah. Just the first paragraph of Berachas Hamazon. Okay. Then he says, while you're doing that, Kasher Tevarech B'Sidr, when you are actually saying the Berachas Hamazon, Tisponin, you should think about the following words in the first paragraph. And it's amazing. How often do we think about the words of Berachas Hamazon? So he writes, think about it. You're in a milchama. You're scared for your life. You're running to shelters. You don't know what's going to be. So when you sit down to Berachas Hamazon and you're focusing on the words, here's what you should put extra focus on in the first paragraph. And listen to how relevant these are to what we want. Uvituvo hagadol tamid lo chasar lanu. What do we say? We say that the Ribono Shel Olam, in his unending kindness, lo chasar lanu, we never feel lacking because of all of his kindness. Va'al yechsar lanu mazon li'olam va'ed u'mechin mazon l'chol b'ri Yosef. We have never been lacking, and we will never be lacking, because you are the one who provides for the entire world. Can there be a more relevant phrase to say than that when we are afraid for our lives? So said Rav Shach, my first etza is, when there's a milchama going on, say the first paragraph of Berachas Hamazon from a bencher. And pay attention to this one line, because it will change your perspective and it will make you a stronger believer. Number two, next paragraph, Bibin Adam Lachaberu. All I would suggest, he says, is lo lehishalech kalayom im kpedos. Don't walk around all day with a kpeda, which means holding things against people. Lazehu kara davar kata. They comment, it's interesting that Rav Shach said, we're going to talk about two small things that you should work on. One is first paragraph of benching from a bencher, and the second thing is just let things slide. To him, that was a small thing. To us, it's a big hurdle. It's hard. But Rav Shach said, if you want the Ribono Shel Olam to have Rachmanis on you, the greatest thing to do is that. To be Ma'avir Al Midosav, and the Gemara says, Ma'avir Lo Akol Pshov, the Ribono Shel Olam will let things slide for you as well. And he said, in his opinion, that is something that is the greatest protection at a time of Melchama. The greatest protection is, number one, to reinforce our emunah by what we say in the Berachas HaMazon. Ra'al yechsar lana mazon li'olam ba'ed, v'tuvo hagadol tamid lo chasar lanu, to realize that everything in our lives that we have, that all that we may have accomplished, all that we look forward to, is only because the Ribono Shel Olam gives it to us and provides us with those opportunities. And aside from that, Rav Shach writes, we also should think about being Mavir Al Midosein. We should think about having that strength, that courage, to just let the Kpeda go, to let all of our, I guess it's insecurities. We have insecurities, and that's why we hold things against other people. Just let it go. You're upset about it? Remind yourself of what the Rambam says. Hakol Hevel Avolim. Look at the bigger picture of the world and say, is this really worth getting upset about? Is this really worth holding on to? Like the guy who sold me the house? Do you want to be stuck in that aisle of the supermarket and have to turn around because you don't know what to say to the person because you're so uncomfortable? It's just not a good way to live. Forgetting about anything else. For myself, it's not a good way to live. It eats me up. I'm nervous. Can I go to the supermarket now? Do I have to wait till later? I don't know the other person's schedule. You don't want to have to live like that. Let the kpeda go. Let the kpeda go, and you'll live a much happier life. But aside from a much happier life, the Ribono Shel Olam, as we saw from the Medrash by Rachel Imenu, the Ribono Shel Olam is Niskalgu Rachamav. When he hears stories like that, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when he hears a woman willing to say with tremendous courage, Ani Mochel Lekula, I'm willing to be Mochel as painful and as awful and as hurtful as everything was, I'm willing to be Mochel that, the Ribono Shel Olam saves you. That's what saves. And that's what we hope. Something. I take, again, as I said, I take this for myself, but I hope that this will be an exercise not only for me, but for many of us to have the opportunity to work on something to help all the situation that is going on around us and to bring a Yeshua to the entire Jewish people. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.